Action WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Democrats holding out for more health care funding. Republicans insisting that should not be a part of the current budget fight. ABC's Johnny Fernandez with more.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Republicans will now have to negotiate with Democrats. President Trump posting on his social media pictures of his meeting Monday with congressional leaders with a hat on his desk that reads Trump 2028. The president warning of program cuts, layoffs, and reduced benefits, but hasn't specified which programs would be affected.
Police have closed the Oktoberfest fairgrounds in Munich, Germany, following a bomb threat and explosion in the northern part of the city. At least one person believed to have been killed in that blast. President Trump telling the nation's generals they should use the nation's cities as training grounds for the military. Earlier, Secretary Hegseth outlined his vision for a new warrior ethos at the Pentagon. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on WISS.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Have you heard of Tilly Norwood? If not, you probably will be hearing more about this AI actress in the near future. AI is becoming more of an issue in the entertainment business. It was a big point of contention during the recent Screen Actors Guild strike. Tilly is the creation of Aileen Vandervelden, a Dutch actor, director, and physicist. That's a rare combo. She is the founder of Particle 6, a video production company that makes AI. Vandervelden says Tilly is even being looked at by acting agencies for representation and has her own Instagram account, the AI with the IA. As you can imagine, the Hollywood acting community is not happy about this creation. According to Yahoo News, the Screen Actors Guild says Tilly is not a real actor, as she has no real-life experiences to draw from, and that AI devalues human artistry. My question is Tilly really even a she? Not sure if she can be compared to a real actor or if she is more like animation. This will get more interesting and or contentious real soon, folks. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on WISS, Oshkosh and Appleton.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin,
State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
And happy first day of October. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you here on the Midwest Farm Report. It's midweek at World Dairy Expo, and the team has been busy on the road to Madison, bringing you coverage straight from the Alliant Energy Center. Stay connected with us in real time on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report and on Instagram at MWF Report. You're also going to find a steady stream of stories and interviews at Midwest Farm Report. Check out our podcast page. Later this hour, we're going to bring you more World Dairy Expo highlights, including the story behind this year's theme. We're also keeping an eye on the corn silage harvest that's keeping producers busy in the field. Wiffles Hybrids has an update for us today. Plus, your weather forecast and the latest markets are on the way. So stick with us.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, you should feel very welcome. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke speaking from experience. The retail location on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg has that feel. You'll notice it on their website, BavariaSausage.com, and you'll see it on their posts on Facebook. Bavaria Sausage not only features their old world flavors, their recipes, their combinations, and all the food that they make, but they also highlight real Wisconsin products in their recipes, in their store. Flavors from syrups to mustards to treats, all with Wisconsin stories that they love to share. When you walk into Bavaria Sausage, it's not just about their story, it's about Wisconsin food stories. Check it out. Shop online anytime, BavariaSausage.com. Follow them on Facebook for their latest menu updates, or visit corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg.
The University of Wisconsin River Falls College of Agriculture and Life Sciences is truly an international organization and internationally related to many, many other schools and worldwide interests. We're going to talk about that with Dr. Grace Lewis, who is a River Falls Assistant Professor of Food Science and a lady that led a team from River Falls to some places that most of us never get to. Dr. Lewis, first of all, tell us where you went and what was the gist, I guess, of your trip.
So we got to go to Thailand, specifically Bangkok and Chiang Mai, Thailand. And the idea behind the trip, and it really became much more than this, but the initial idea was to establish connections between Wisconsin and Thailand, specifically in the dairy industry, to open up the doors for future collaboration. Part of the way we were going to do that is we were looking to develop a kind of a Thai flavor-infused dairy product here at River Falls that would be appropriate for export from Wisconsin to Thailand to try to show, you know, there's a lot of growth opportunities in Thailand and try to show an example of how that can be accomplished. But we really, when we were over there, we met with so many people and we made so many connections that now it's much broader in reach.
How did this originate the idea, through whose connections, and how did you put it all together as far as taking the right people to accomplish what you want to accomplish?
So the initial idea was submitted to DATCAP for funding, and the initial grant or proposal was actually submitted by Carolyn Brady, and then I got involved because I'm an expert in dairy foods. But the idea is that Thailand's dairy consumption is growing pretty rapidly, actually, specifically in the areas of milk powder, ready-to-drink milk, and cheese. And, of course, being Wisconsin, we really targeted that cheese area. But the production of milk in Thailand is still not sufficient for the amount they're consuming. So that's an awesome opportunity for Wisconsin, Wisconsin to export products to Thailand, as well as to help Thailand to improve their dairy industry over there. So it was a proposal that was submitted, supported by DATCAP, and we took a group of dairy experts from here over to Thailand. So the group included Ruben Nelson, who is our dairy plant manager at UW River Falls. He's also like a cheese expert, if you will. So he's a cheese judge, as well as Randy Swinson, who is another cheese judge, knows everything about quality and grading of cheese. And then I also got to bring a student who is involved in the initial research, helping to develop this cheese product here at River Falls. And her name was Nevaeh Bollinger, and she's actually been working in my research lab for about 2 years prior to this as well. And she just had an amazing time over there. You can imagine a student traveling. Actually, it was her first time international and going to Thailand and experiencing the culture over there. I mean, it was just wonderful.
And, of course, you two are a cheese judge yourself. But when you got over there, Wisconsin, the United States, Thailand, they're different cultures. So what kind of hurdles, for lack of a better term, do you feel you have to get over to make a product here that will be to the taste of the Thailand people? And is it a big jump to do that? And what kind of cheeses do they already produce over there? Are they like American cheeses?
Yes, I think, as you mentioned, their culture is very different. So what we did when we first arrived is we got to do some cultural tours. We got to meet some elephants, but we also got to experience some of the religion, go to some temples, and I think that is fundamental to a lot of how Thai individuals, you know, live and consume their products and do what they do. So it was important to understand that. But some of the hurdles, if you will, are maybe less related to cultural components, more related to things like importing dairy products from the United States is currently pretty expensive. So what we have to do is we have to address a need for our product specifically and address a desire and a demand for Wisconsin dairy products specifically. So how we approach that is we want to tell a story about Wisconsin dairy products, and we want to make sure we are sending products over that the Thai consumers will really appreciate. So we currently have, I believe, some like 7 different companies are exporting from Wisconsin to Thailand, and there are a lot of flavored cheeses, which are really well accepted in Thailand. They also really seem to value the fresh cheeses, some of the more mild flavored cheeses. But they do currently have some cheddars over there and some mozzarellas and some ricottas. We did note the ricottas were different than what we experience in America, but there is some overlap, and there is a general knowledge of cheese, but I think often when people hear of American cheese, they think of American cheese, right? They think of this highly processed product, and that is not necessarily what we're sending over. We're sending these natural cheese products with amazing flavors, really an artistic, really excellent product, and that's the story we're trying to tell.
Now, at the Wietrich Family Grassland Dairy Center of Excellence at the UW River Falls, and you took over the plant manager, is there kind of a mission to create even newer varieties to send to Thailand? What kind of feedback did you get from the Thais that they like what we send them already, but we'd like to have some new ones?
Yeah, so Ruben is our dairy plant manager over here, and like I mentioned, he knows a lot about cheese. He loves cheese, and he's always interested in producing new varieties, new flavors. And we experienced part of this trip was going to different, restaurants, visiting with different universities, and we learned a lot about the spices and the herbs used in Thai cuisine. And that got all of our brains working and seeing if there's opportunity to do I don't want to spoil anything, but maybe some snackable products with some of these herbs, some of these spices that can help blend the traditional, Wisconsin cheeses, amazing flavors, clean flavors, with some Thai flavors that they're already used to over there. And maybe that can help to drive up sales and, again, promote what Wisconsin's all about. But one way we're going to do this is we signed an MOU between our College of Animal Food and Environmental Science here at UW River Falls and Chiang Mai University over there. And we think that collaboration will really help to initiate, you know, this dairy product in the market. So our idea maybe is to make a collaborative dairy product, and they have a dairy store over there, and to help market it through that, just to show how we're working together and how we're hoping to continue our relations.
Is there a process in place to bring some of the Thai people to our country as kind of return visit for them to get an even better understanding of what Wisconsin dairy and Wisconsin cheese is all about? Because you said there are differences, obviously, in our dairy industry and their dairy industry, as well as, I'm sure, the finished product. So let them see firsthand how we do it.
Absolutely. So that's definitely something we want to get started. So, of course, we need additional money for that. But with this, again, this MOU and some of the folks we met over there, there's a lot of interest in not only the dairy processing side, but also on the dairy farm side, which I know UW-Madison is also working with quite extensively. But there's a lot of kind of the symbiotic relationship we want to develop. We have a lot of experience over here. We met a lot of really inspiring folks over there, and really developing that relation, having people come over here, us go over there, maybe deliver some short courses and really share what the dairy industry is all about and how do we make this industry better across the world.
With Dr. Grace Lewis, UW River Falls Assistant Professor of Food Science, in her recent trip to Thailand, I'm Bob Osold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be a little tricky. So here at WISS, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WISS.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you've got an event to share, hit us up. Email info at WISS.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
We stay on the very mild side. Today, in all reality, could be the cool day of the week where most of us stay in the very upper 70s, and we'll be back up into those 80s then for the end of the week. don't expect it to feel all that much different today, even though I called it the cool day. It's just not going to be quite as warm as it was already or will be before this week is out. Upper level blocking high pressure in the Midwest, just hanging out there. What it'll do is keep skies clear, keep that sun around, and keep that mild air pumping in as well. Today, a little different with the sun as well. There'll be a few more clouds. Oh, I'd say you look up toward Park Falls, Hayward, far northwest Wisconsin, it may actually be almost mostly cloudy today. Otherwise, we'll call it partly sunny. More clouds than sun, but still very bright, a good-looking day. Just a few more clouds holding out today. That's about the extent. And that's just because some moisture trying to build in. There's a weak front way out in the western edge of the Dakotas this morning with some scattered rain heading north out of central Kansas, Nebraska, up into eastern North Dakota, very far northwest Minnesota. None of that an issue for us. We aren't going to see rain move in at all. In fact, just a few clouds today, then warmer and sunny Thursday, Friday, Saturday as well. And I'd expect in western and northwest Wisconsin, especially Eau Claire and north, that possibility of a little rain could try to build in later Sunday. I'd say for the rest of us Sunday night or into Monday, a small chance for some scattered showers. That small chance of rain may finally begin to build in. And that's wrapping up the weekend or starting into next week. So if you're out in the fields making good progress as our grains dry down, as those crops dry down in a big hurry, we're going to have some pretty good fortune here right through the rest of the week and the weekend. But if you're banking on time early next week, we may start to talk about that rain chance, which could be a little of an adverse effect. Not that I expect we get a whole lot of rain, but the hit and miss shower could tend to slow things down just a little bit. And with that chance of rain into next week, I'd expect those temps start to cool again, maybe heading back toward normal as we head on toward the middle of next week. But I'll check our forecast details then right after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Well, I'll tell you what, the cattle at World Dairy Expo, they're treated like royalty, even in the wee hours of the morning. The barns were alive as I drove by to get in for the early show. Folks making sure those cattle are ready to handle any warm temperatures that come their way. But for me, Stu, I think it's going to be wise just to keep an extra stick of deodorant in the vehicle, huh?
Well, it could be that way, Stephanie. I mean, that's summertime weather now. Here we are, the first day of October, and temperatures are well on the above normal side and will be even warmer for the end of this first week. But our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for partly sunny skies today, a few more clouds, mid and upper 70s. I don't know, there'll be an 80 in the state, maybe a 79 somewhere, and the southeast winds will be at 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy, low and mid 50s with east breezes. And then tomorrow, sunny, a bit warmer, upper 70s in the north, almost mid-80s in the south. South winds about 5. Sunny on Friday, almost everybody in the 80s. Low 80s north, upper 80s south. Southwest winds at 5. those upper 80s on Saturday, too. So, Stephanie, very summery conditions right through the end of the week.
Oh, we should enjoy it while we can. And before those rain chances come, too, towards the end of the weekend, good time to get your to-do list done in the field. Thank you, Stu. We'll catch up again tomorrow on what's happening with the forecast for the rest of the week. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Make sure to visit Compeer.com. Again, that's Compeer.com. We've got more World Dairy Expo updates on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air, where Civic Media News Director Shelly Pittman joins.
Earlier, we were talking about possible funding cuts to the Wisconsin library system due to the big bill for billionaires. And Shelly, you wanted to take a moment to talk about the libraries.
The IMLS, the Institute for Museum and Library Science, is another one of those agencies that doesn't get a lot of attention until it's on the chopping block. So the IMLS program funds sort of new, sometimes experimental programs for libraries to use. The IMLS also funds the statewide interlibrary loan program. So this is how rural libraries are most likely to be affected, is because this is what makes your interlibrary loan possible. This is what allows you to get, but you know, if you're in a small library, and I grew up in a sort of rural library, this is what allows you to get books from bigger institutions. And sometimes that might take a little bit. And I think I've only ever had like two requests not be able to be filled because I was asking for some really detailed out there stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually it comes. And so this is how rural libraries are affected. But the IMLS also gives out specific grant funding to different institutions. And keep in mind, it's for library science and for museums. Mm-hmm. So last year, the IMLS distributed a good chunk of money to a good number of kind of programs in Wisconsin. So the Ho-Chunk got $142,000. The Oneida Nation got $86,000. I have other numbers here. The Wisconsin Historical Society got $177,000. The Door County Historical Society got $20,000.
And I saw a comment come in the live stream from Jenny. Says, I support and look to libraries as a steward of history at learning and free thinking. The rare books room at the MPL Central in downtown Milwaukee, and free events to learn new professional skills via workshops. And here's what really kicks me in the teeth and makes me feel like sick about it, and it's something you just mentioned too. Also, local libraries are often the only source of free internet and computer services that many communities, especially rural ones, have access to. And that's something that we seem to always come back to, is these cuts that are coming from the federal government are going to hurt the rural areas a lot. You know, we're talking about hospital closures, talk about libraries. So that's something to always keep in mind. So I appreciate you bringing that to light, especially your experience about growing up in libraries, essentially. That's very, very wonderful. And thank you for the information on that as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The federal government is shut down. Democrats holding out for more health care funding. Republicans insisting that should not be a part of the current budget fight. ABC's Johnny Fernandez with more.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says Republicans will now have to negotiate with Democrats. President Trump posting on his social media pictures of his meeting Monday with congressional leaders with a hat on his desk that reads, Trump 2028. The president warning of program cuts, layoffs, and reduced benefits, but hasn't specified which programs would be affected.
Police have closed the Oktoberfest fairgrounds in Munich, Germany, following a bomb threat and explosion in the northern part of the city. At least one person believed to have been killed in that blast. President Trump telling the nation's generals they should use the nation's cities as training grounds for the military. Earlier, Secretary Hegseth outlined his vision for a new warrior ethos at the Pentagon. This is ABC News.
The
Packers reevaluate. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers having their bye week. Now, after losing to the Browns last week, how are they reacting to Sunday night's game with the Cowboys ending in a tie? Head coach Matt LaFleur.
Right now, it feels like kind of like a kick in the gut. It definitely feels more like a loss than anything else. I think what's disappointing is when you have opportunities to win games, which we had an opportunity in both games to win the game. And when you don't win the game, it's disappointing.
College football, following losses to Alabama and Maryland, the Wisconsin Badgers head to Michigan on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
We know we have to get better. There's a process to getting better. We have to see some of those steps to getting better. But there's no way of doing it if you can't stay together and you can't keep your mind going in a direction. I can always say positive, but going in a direction that gives us a chance to get better.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on WISS, Oshkosh, and Appleton.
It's going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Derek Van Orden over on our Facebook page jumped into our comment section. Derek Van Orden can get as snooty as he wants with reporters. He can get as confrontational in comment sections. He can use all the cuss words that he wants. And he said 18 U.S. Code subsection 2331. Look it up. Well, we did. It doesn't cover social media posts that make a congressman get his fee-fees all hurt.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up It never happened.
Indefinitely.
And that oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Wednesday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy to be along with you. We're lucky that our road to Madison is just a few short miles to World Dairy Expo. For others, it's a 5,000-mile round trip with show cows in tow. We'll hear more about the journey from Powell Butte, Oregon, later in the hour. Today is the first day of October, and if you've tuned in with me before, you know that I like to see what today is going to be good for in the old farmer's almanac. According to the book, today's a good day for rolling up your sleeves, and it sounds like the weather is going to cooperate. The old farmer's almanac says it's a perfect day for harvesting above-ground crops and even casting a line for fishing. But wait, there's more. If you've been meaning to pour concrete, set posts, or even start logging, today's the day to get to it. So there you have it. Whether you're building a fence or laying foundation for a dream chicken coop, the stars are aligned, according to the old farmer's almanac. I'm also happy to welcome you back to a Wiffles Wednesday, where thanks to not just high-quality products, but tools online, they allow you to plant your independence. We're pleased to be catching up with Andy Grebner this morning. He is the district sales manager for Wiffles in South Central Wisconsin. Andy, you said to me, corn harvest is just getting started in your region, and early results are looking positive, but diseases have not been particularly friendly to stock quality.
With the hot and humid weather we had this growing season, we are seeing significant diseases like southern rust, tar spot, and northern corn leaf blight in about every field, especially in fields not sprayed with a fungicide. The stock quality is breaking down very quickly. So I recommend, if you use the fungicide or not, to get out to your fields and either pinch, push, pull, kick, or whatever you have to do to check the stock quality and evaluate that just to see how strong it is, and then prioritize your harvest order.
When it comes to some of these diseases that we're seeing in the field now, these are results of weather conditions that we saw earlier in the growing season. Isn't that right?
That is correct, and especially with southern rust, that's something we typically don't see this far north. But with the weather conditions that we did have, with a lot of southerly winds and the heat and humidity and moisture and the rainfall that we had, southern rust really took over some fields, especially you see that in southwest Wisconsin and then Iowa. Iowa got hit real bad with southern rust.
So as folks are scouting their fields and looking at their stock quality, things of that nature, what's on their to-do list then for 2026? What kind of new products is Wiffles offering to help mitigate some of these things from happening again?
Well, really the biggest thing is, you know, if we have weather conditions like that, it's just to get out and scout your fields. Get out in your fields often, and then a planned at least one pass fungicide application is needed. We have multiple years of fungicide data, and it's over a 10 bushel advantage over thousands of sites. I think it's we're on year 13 now. So, and it's years like this where we could see 20, 30, 40 bushel differences on fields that were sprayed versus not sprayed just based on disease severity.
A 40-bushel difference between sprayed and unsprayed fields, that's nothing to sneeze at. And I want to remind listeners, too, that these types of insights and advice are all available at Wiffles.com on their agronomy tab. I invite you to take a look at that. And new this year at your website, Andy, is also this really cool sort of real-time harvest map. It's great to see how your neighbors are coming along in the corn harvest. Tell me more about that, Andy.
Sure, yeah. This fall, we're tracking corn harvest progress and yield averages across the central Corn Belt. From the weekly updates we receive from corn growers, the NOLS updates are added to our interactive map so you can monitor harvest progress and yield averages from fellow farmers from the upper Midwest. And at the end of each week, our agronomy managers get on and share their local observations and harvest progress, yield performances, and any agronomic conditions and concerns that they are seeing. So, yes, that can be found on the Wiffles website on the agronomy tab, and then just look for Harvest Progress Report.
There's obviously more agronomy insights, more content to find at Wiffles.com. What are some of the other offerings you have to keep people up to date?
Right. On the agronomy tab, you can go into there. There's this category you can click on. It's called Agronomic Library. There's everything you want to know about agronomy in there. And there's also a few calculators on there. One would be just a yield calculator. You can go out to your field and count your ears, get your estimates, and then plug that into our yield calculator. And there's also a grain drying calculator on there as well. And then one that we just finished up was our corn rootworm monitoring. So that shows all the sticky traps that we had out this summer and all the counts that we did receive as far as northern corn rootworm beetles and western corn rootworm beetles.
Yeah, plant your independence is not just a phrase at Wiffles Hybrids. There's legitimacy behind that statement with not just the quality products, but the tools that Wiffles provides for farmers to make the best business decisions they can. Even if you're working, there's a hands-free option if you want to listen in to their Keeping It Independent podcast series. Wiffles agronomic managers have in-depth discussions on concerns they're seeing in the field and management tactics. All of it at Wiffles.com. Andy Grebner along with us on a Wiffles Wednesday. He's the district sales manager for South Central Wisconsin. Stick around for updates from Expo and a market update next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The road to Madison leads to the World Dairy Expo. Follow along with Midwest Farm Report's special coverage of the show on our social media, website, and a special podcast. Join Pam, Stephanie, Ben, and Kylie as they tell the stories of World Dairy Expo from September 29th through October 3rd. Learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The Midwest Farm Report's World Dairy Expo coverage kicks off on Tuesday, September 30th with Boehringer Ingelheim. Join Pam in booth EH2906 through 2908. Boehringer Ingelheim is a leader in cattle vaccines, reproductive, and treatment options. Be sure to visit BIAnimalHealth.com to learn more.
Oh, yeah! Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on!
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatestyields.
from Powell Butte, Oregon to Madison, Wisconsin. It's roughly a 5,000-mile round trip that most people wouldn't dream of making with show cattle in tow. But for Mike Berry, it's just part of the journey to World Dairy Expo. Mike tells us what it takes to haul cattle across the country to one of dairy's biggest stages.
The whole journey starts, I guess I had about 4 hours of Tillamook, then we get everything organized, and then it's about 2 days on the road. We travel, it's about 12 to 14 hours, our first stop from Oregon to Bozeman, Montana. Then we get them all off, clean the trailer at a farm. Mark Tatarka has a small dairy there in Bozeman right off the interstate. Works out pretty nice. You can get everything clean, fresh bedding down, milk them out, get them ready to go again. And then we traveled to South Dakota, the guy Nathan Johnson. We actually stayed the night there because we were worn out by then after that part. But same thing, milked them, chored them, cleaned everything. And then we ended up, took a nap, and then remilked. And then the last of our trip was about, 8-9 more hours. And we went to Doug Nifong here in Orfordville, Wisconsin, where let the cattle rest for about 48 hours before he brought them into the expo grounds. So,
and how many years have you been coming to World Dairy Expo and taking that route?
Yeah, since the mid-90s.
Why do you do it?
Yeah, just the love of the dairy cows and showing cattle, and then get a lot of friends along the way. So, yeah, it's just real enjoyable to see what you can do and the competitiveness and seeing all your friends get all together here.
And that's the road to Madison, told by Mike Berry. He comes to World Dairy Expo from Powell Butte with his show cattle. And now let's take a look at our markets on a Wednesday morning. From Chicago, December corn is trading 2 cents lower at 413.5. November soybeans down 6.5 cents at 9.95¼. Cash wheat is down 3.5 at 504.5. July 2026 new crop wheat is trading 3 cents lower at 548.75. Taking a look at fluid milk, the October Class 3 milk contract is up 4 cents at 1726 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract is also up 4 cents, trading at 1695 a hundredweight. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese, and on the close yesterday, we did see the 40-pound block cheese pick up 5.5 cents, closing at $1.72. If you've got questions about what's happening in today's dairy markets, please feel free to send us a message through our talk text line. That's 877-301-3276. Our friends from Everegg join us live tomorrow morning. Don't touch that dial. We've got more World Dairy Expo news coming your way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 30th, New Hampshire implemented new hurdles for registering to vote by mail and requesting an absentee ballot. The regulations hit students, elders, and the disabled the hardest, and a pending suit claims many could be disenfranchised. New Hampshire already has some of the strictest absentee voting rules in the country, accepting only a few excuses to vote absentee. The state had over 99,000 absentee voters in 2024. With the added requirements of SB 287 and 218, citizens registering to vote by mail must now submit copies of citizenship documents, age, and residency. The voter registration application must also be signed by a witness before submission. The Brennan Center recently found that 1 in 9 Americans don't have ready access to such documents. Notably, only one non-citizen has ever been convicted for voting illegally in New Hampshire. Then, after the voter registration is accepted, New Hampshire requires an absentee ballot application be submitted for each election, which now must include a copy of the voter's state or federally issued photo identification, even if you've provided those documents previously or provide a notarized signature. A lawsuit filed August 19th argues such restrictions make it difficult for students, elders, the disabled, and those without access or means to copy the documents to vote. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30 seconds.
I'm giving you right
what,
now.
What about What Does the Fox Say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is the Fox Say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's
songs.
Another one. Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talked to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matinair on air.
Gives us a peek behind the curtains.
Yeah, so every year, it's about an 18-month process to plan a theme for the upcoming year and to plan each show. A lot of people think that it's maybe just weeks leading up to the event, but we spend about 18 months getting stuff ready for the next show. So actually we have the theme for next year and everything already picked out. But the theme for this year was decided, The Road to Madison, playing off the idea that everyone comes from so many different directions. They use so many different modes of transportation to get here, but they come here for this week and this week only to reconnect with old friends, to network, to engage in educational sessions, to walk the trade show, as well as watch the dairy cattle show. So no matter what your road looks like here to Madison, we welcome you and are so thankful that you're a part of World Dairy Expo.
Well, there is a pretty spectacular backdrop in the arena, and that has to be made first digitally by someone. And my understanding is that you put a lot of time and effort into that. What did that process look like when you were planning it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we work with another company to kind of conceptualize and build out the assets for the year. But then as any good project, it kind of changes and takes shape. So with the main banner on the west side of the Coliseum, on the south side of the Coliseum, that's really an extension of the artwork that you see in the poster. But one of my most fun projects actually was the photo taking area on the north side, taking a play off the theme and using the corn and the cornfields that so many drive through on their way to Madison, both defining the trip from the field and from the farm to the colored shavings every October is something that we constantly play into, but that is really relevant to our dairy cattle show audience specifically, and looking at the ways that they transport both to Madison as well as the work that they put in throughout the year at home to have the results and have the goals here on the colored shavings.
Well, I love that because not only in rural America are we driving by corn, but we're also using the corn to feed our dairy cattle. And so that's aiding in their physical journey to Madison. So you have a statue, flowers, colored shavings, a whole bunch of different things go into making the show ring an atmosphere. Can you walk me through what are some of the most interesting pieces that went into the show ring that you didn't think about prior?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to give a lot of credit to Lori Breich. She's our dairy systems manager, and she did a lot of work in behind the scenes of conceptualizing as well as planning what the show ring would look like this year. She provided me a list of assets that she was looking for and how the ring would be displayed, and then me and her collaborated to really plan out those assets and make them. And we work with some phenomenal companies to make all of the signage that you see here on grounds, but specifically those pieces. I'm always a sucker for the road signs. I think that those are really unique to this year, as well as just really playing into that travel theme. I think that the road signs weren't something that I necessarily knew how they were going to work and how they were going to play out, but turned out phenomenal, and love seeing the photos with them in the background.
So on Friday, as cattle were coming onto the fairgrounds, they were also building the show ring that we see now. And I saw you on Friday, and you were pretty excited to see what you had put together in real life. What was that feeling when you saw the finished product?
Yeah, absolutely. So with the roles that we all take in kind of planning the show ring, I knew what assets were going into it. I knew which each piece was, but didn't know what the overall vision was going to look like. So it was cool to check up and be in there a couple times throughout the day and see the progress and see, with it being my first year here at Expo, my initial reaction was just hoping that I didn't mess anything up. But when it all started coming together, I really enjoyed what Lori had planned out for the ring and the vision. And then when those colored shavings went down, it was kind of the icing on the cake for the overall ring design. And I think the animals have looked amazing out there this week parading in front of it. And I think there will be a lot of interesting pieces brought in for Supreme Champion as well that I think the audience will be really excited to see.
Well, what happens with the backdrop and picture backdrop when the show's over?
Yeah, so a cool thing, they kind of get pieced out depending on a couple different things. But the coolest part for me, especially joining the team here at World Dairy Expo, was actually getting to go through all of the old designs and all of the old pieces that had been saved from past show rings in our warehouse. So we have, that's where the two cows live all year round, but we also have a variety of different aspects of the past show ring sets, and we work with a phenomenal company to help us put together the ring and help add some of their assets to it. So we don't house everything or don't own everything that goes into the ring, but it's really cool to be able to save those pieces, and they become a piece of history but also become timeless at the same point.
Haley Berkema, the digital marketing specialist with the World Dairy Expo. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Some organic foods are now cheaper to buy than their conventional counterparts. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Fresh air and sunshine are abundant on most farms and ranches. Farmers need to take care working in the sun, though. Excess exposure can lead to heat stroke and dehydration in the short term and potential skin cancer long term. Protect yourself. Wear sunscreen, loose clothing, and a wide brim hat. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Rising retail food prices are making organic and natural foods look like a bargain. David Stelzer's Azure Standard in North Central Oregon distributes its organic foods nationally and beyond.
Azure has become the distribution network to connect the regenerative growers with consumers. And no, it doesn't have to be more expensive. I just had a customer tell me a couple weeks ago that they did a huge price comparison with conventional from their local grocery store, and Azure's organic. They were able to eat organic food at about 5% less than they would have eaten standard conventional fare bought in standard American packaging in a major grocery retailer.
Stelzer cites his own family's health experience when touting the benefits of organic and natural foods.
I grew up the sickly kid, my wife as well. We changed our diet completely to an organic, regenerative-based diet 100%. We raised 11 children without ever having to have one of them see a doctor, except for one broken femur.
Another similar story tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media host Greg Bach joins me to discuss the Milwaukee Comedy Festival. Then Civic Media's Catherine Lake talks about a big movie screening in Madison, and actor Dan Davies drops by. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at CleanWisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A government shutdown now underway. At midnight, money ran out to keep the doors open, meaning hundreds of thousands of federal workers are now on furlough with no pay. Most of the wrangling is going on in the Senate, says ABC's Lana Moyes.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune is working to get Democrats to cross party lines to get the 60 votes needed to keep the government funded for 7 more weeks. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer standing firm with the Democrats, demanding cuts to Medicaid be restored and demanding Obamacare tax credits be extended to prevent millions of Americans' insurance premiums from going up.
President Trump telling the nation top military generals on Tuesday they should use U.S. cities as training grounds for U.S. troops. 16 more people killed in Gaza airstrikes as Hamas continues weighing the 20-point peace plan put forth this week. At least 69 people killed during an earthquake in the central Philippines. This is ABC News.
W